Well, today is the end of the series that we've been involved in that's been entitled Under Construction. And during this series, we've been looking at a whole lot of different things, really mainly focused on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which begins in Matthew chapter 5, and we've gone into Matthew chapter 6. And really the whole series has been about focusing on becoming the kind of person who naturally does what is right. Instead of the focus being on rules and focusing on the outward actions of people, the focus of Jesus' teaching was really mainly about becoming the kind of person who naturally does what is right. And so today what I want to do is really finish off this part in Matthew chapter 6. And after establishing this idea of becoming the kind of person that naturally does what's right, Jesus gave two warnings, two things that will derail you when it comes to this. And the last time we got together, we talked about the first thing that he warned about, like the first thing that will totally mess you up in terms of becoming the kind of person that does what's right. And that thing is looking for approval from people. The whole need to impress thing will totally derail any attempt at becoming the kind of person who naturally does what's right. We've talked about what is the good life. We've talked about who is actually a truly good person. And so, but today we're going to focus on the second thing that he warned about. I'm going to share with you about that in just a moment. Why don't we bow our heads and begin with a word of prayer, and then I'll share the second thing that Jesus talked about. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, God, that you've brought us together. It's not a coincidence that we're here in this moment, Lord, but that you have desired to speak this particular thing to us today. And so, God, we're eager, we're excited, we're looking forward to hearing what you are wanting to say to us today. Thank you, God, that you care about us in such an amazing way that you would specifically have us be in certain places at certain times for specific reasons. And so, God, I just pray that you'll help us prepare our hearts to hear what you have to say today. And God, we put our trust in you, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bible, you can go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 19 today. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. If you don't have your Bible, don't worry about it. These scriptures will be on the screen. Matthew chapter 6, it's a passage that I'm sure many of you have heard of or perhaps have studied. Jesus says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So this is the second warning. The first warning that Jesus gave was the whole issue of approval, the whole need to impress thing. If you do that, you're going to be derailed in terms of your attempt to becoming the kind of person that you really ultimately want to be. But then he gives the second warning. And it has to do with treasures. It has to do with treasures. Now, treasures are things that we try to keep, things that we try to keep because we've placed a high value on them. Things that we try to keep because we've placed a high value on them. Everyone has treasures. It's part of being human. You can't be human without having treasures, without having things that are important to you, that you have personally placed high value upon. Our treasures are actually very personal. In fact, many of our treasures are private. We only share certain treasures with the people that we trust, that we love, that we know they love us. Treasures are very, very personal. You can see it even when with small children. They become attached to certain things, and they're important to them. Treasures are personal for all of us. Now, our treasures might not necessarily be valuable. They may not be worth tons of money or anything, and my treasures may be worthless to you, but they're still treasures because I have placed a high value on those treasures. There's things that I have. For instance, I have a box full of letters from my mom that she wrote to me when I was in college and I was doing things that I wasn't supposed to be doing. But my mom became a Christian, and so she's writing me all these letters, you know, filled with all these scriptures and all these Christian concepts and things like that. And I would just like kind of blow through all this, you know, okay, yeah, okay, mom, thanks, yeah. But now those letters mean a lot to me. And no matter where we move, the letters go. Every house we've lived in, I still have those letters. You might see the box of letters, my box of letters, and go, "What's all this? What's this junk? Throw this junk away." But those are, for me, they're valuable. They're personal. I was talking with a lady here in our church. Her name is Carol. We were talking about this a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about how in her house, everything that she has in her house. That she has kept over the years, literally everything that she has in her house has a story. Isn't that true? Literally everything has a story. There's a story attached to everything in her house. I got this here during this year. This person was involved. This was the situation. There's a story connected to the treasures that she has. Now, our treasures don't have to be material things. Our treasures could be anything that you place value upon. It could be your reputation. It could be relationships with people. It could be your goals. It could be your dreams. It could be anything that you place value on. But the key thing to understand about treasures is that we seek to protect them. That's how you know when you treasure something. You want to protect it. Some of you have a box in your house. And you keep your treasures in this box. And that box has an interesting name. It's called a safe. Isn't that an interesting name for a box? Because we seek to protect our treasures. But what's even more interesting to me is that Jesus starts off this warning to us about our treasures that are upon this earth. And this is the first thing I want you guys to really consider, and that is this. Treasuring things on the earth is not smart. It's not a smart strategy. Treasuring things that are on the earth is not a smart strategy, because, you know, we talked about this box, we talked about this safe and our need to protect, our desire to protect the things that are important to us, that we value. But the reality is that we can't protect the things that are valuable to us. There is no material thing that isn't subject to being damaged, destroyed, or stolen. There's nothing that exists that's material that you place any value on that isn't subject to being damaged, destroyed, or stolen. That's depressing, isn't it? I worked so long for that. And poof, somebody steals it. It's gone. Or you drop it. And it shatters, and it's gone. We've all been there, right? That was really important to me. You know, all right, kids, nobody touches the vase. Nothing material can be protected, truly. There's no guarantee. And maybe even what's worse than that is it can be given to someone else who doesn't value it the way that you do. When you die, somebody else gets all your stuff. And they may not care one way about it at all. You know, I got to share this story. It's really kind of true. I mean, an example of this. When we bought our house, from some people who were also in the ministry, and they had been in this house for a long time. And but we saw the house as totally a fixer-upper. We were like, man, we're blowing everything up about this house in order to live in it, you know. And so we work out the process and whatever, and we get in there and we got workers and we're tearing stuff out and we're, you know, doing everything. And then we go to meet with the couple that owned it previously, and we were at the attorney's office to sign the papers. But the lady had dropped by the house like the day before that and saw, you know, everything was just getting destroyed or whatever. So we're sitting at the attorney about to sign the papers, and this lady starts crying. And she's like, she's like, I'm starting to have second thoughts about selling the house. And we're like, what? You don't understand. They're like tearing it all up, and they ripped it, and they've got purple primer on the cabinets, and they got this, you know. We're just like, yeah. The house isn't yours anymore. It's ours. We're changing it. That was so traumatic for her. The attorney was like, can you guys just step outside for a little bit? You know, so Luann and I go out for a while, and he talks her off the ledge, you know. And we come back in and sign the papers. But that's depressing, isn't it? Something that you work so hard for, something that means so much to you. But ultimately, you can't protect it. You're not guaranteed that you'll even be able to keep it. What's even more depressing is that even non-material things, it's the same way. There is no relationship. There is no goal. There is no dream. Your reputation that isn't subject to being damaged, destroyed, or stole. And the realization of this can be depressing. Did you know that there's a book in the Bible that's written about this? There literally is a book in the Bible that's written about it. It was written by someone who when he realized this fact, that there is nothing on this earth that isn't subject to being damaged, destroyed, or stolen, or given to somebody else, he went into such a deep, dark depression. Isn't that a song? That he wrote about it, and it ended up in the Bible. Isn't it interesting that God would put that in the Bible for us to see? Like, oh, I'm so depressed, I think I'll write this. How do I start this book? I want to write a book. I'm really depressed. You get my pen out, piece of paper, fresh. The first line of the book is always the most important, right? In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, here's what Solomon thought as he pondered the first line of this magnum opus. How do I capture the moment? The words of the teacher, son of David, king of, in Jerusalem. Meaningless! Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. That's everything that exists on the earth. That's depressing. But these things mean so much to me. I even have a safe. I'm the only one that has a combination. All my stuff goes in it. No one's allowed to touch it. Meaningless. Everything is meaningless. He goes on in verse 12. Says, I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. And then, for the rest of this book, he goes into detail, focusing on all the things that even to this day we consider to be valuable. Money, meaningless. And he had more money than anybody. Security, personal security, meaningless. He had an army to protect him and the things that he owned. Fame, approval, respect, sex, pleasure, alcohol, drugs, achievement, meaningless. He did it all. He did all of that. He had more of that than anyone's ever had. And he said, he came away with it going, it's a waste of time. Treasuring things on the earth is not a smart strategy. Now, the things that Jesus is talking about here are not laws. He's not saying that you shouldn't have treasures. So don't. Jesus is giving an illustration. He's trying to help us understand a principle. They're not laws. These are illustrations. And that's what Jesus is basically saying in Matthew 6:19. If all you do is focus your life on these earthly treasures, it's not smart. It's not smart because it's all going to go away and you can't protect it. But then in verse 20, he reveals what is smart. In Matthew 6, verse 20, he says, But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Translation of that is simply this: invest your life in what God is doing. Invest your life in what God is doing. No one can take that. No one can destroy that. No one can harm that if you invest your life in what God is doing. And actually, Solomon figured this out in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, verse 14. He said this: I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. And God does that so that people will fear him or revere him. Whatever God does, you can't break. Whatever God does, you can't take. Whatever God does, you can't steal. It can't be damaged. It can't be messed up or thwarted or anything like that. So invest your life in what God is doing. Invest in your relationship with Jesus. That can't be messed up. And as you do that, you will then devote your life to the good of others, because God treasures you and God treasures all the people around you. And that's how we deposit treasures in heaven every day, by investing our lives in God. Investing our lives in our relationship with Jesus, and then devoting our lives to the good of the people that are around us. And when we live this way, then our treasures are secure. Our treasures are protected. And something interesting happens. Our whole lives start to make sense. Because our treasures, and this is important, this is really, really important, I want you guys to understand this. Our treasures focus our hearts. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Our treasures focus our hearts. Our hearts, you know, according to how the Bible describes it, my heart is my will. It's the center of the decision making in my life. My heart determines what I do, where I go. So actually, in a sense, my heart determines my direction, because my heart is whatever my heart is focused on, I move in that direction. My heart is focused towards my wife. Everything about my life, yeah, and amen, a double amen. Because my heart is focused in her direction, everything about my life points me towards her. Back in the day when I was touring with artists, I could be on the far reaches of the planet in a completely different country, and I'm constantly thinking about her. And as soon as the gig's over, I'm on my way to the airport because I want to get back to her. My whole life was always moving towards her, no matter what was going on, no matter where I was in the world, because my heart, my treasures focus my heart. That's how you know what your treasures are. Who is your life pointing towards? What is your life pointing towards? That's a really important question. Because my heart determines the direction I take, literally, every moment, every day. Even now, as we sit here, you're thinking about what you're going to do when you finally get to run out that door. And who you're going to be with. And what you're going to do. My life will point in the direction of my treasures. That's what Jesus meant when he said in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Your treasures focus your heart. I need you guys to know that you are, for Luann and I, you are our treasures. You are our treasures. We don't have to be here. We choose to be here. We choose to be here because of you. Because you're our treasures. Our hearts are focused here towards you. Luann gets job offers all the time from all over the country. We could be anywhere. My daughter's in Los Angeles. We could be with her. We could go back into the music industry, but our hearts are with you. And so our lives, everything, every day the car starts and miraculously I end up here. It's like, I haven't even had coffee yet. I'm just like, oh my gosh, it just, because our hearts are, your treasures focus your heart. But here's the important thing. If your heart is pointed at the right treasure, that will bring health and wholeness and peace into your life. But if your heart is focused and pointed towards the wrong thing, then you have strife and stress and pain. And so to illustrate this, Jesus moves into the next thing in verse 22 when he says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Jesus is using this illustration to talk about this whole issue of your heart being pointed in the right direction. And this is the second thing I want you to consider, and that is life is a whole lot less painful when you can see good. Because that's what Jesus is saying here. Life is a whole lot less painful when you can see good. When you see well, guess what? It benefits your whole body. Benefits your whole body. When church is over, everyone here in the room will be able to navigate their way out that little door safely. But if you couldn't see, if all of us were blind, it'd be a painful thing for us to get to that door. People would be tripping over stuff, banging your head on things. You'd have bruises. You'd have cuts. You'd have a concussion. Because life is a lot less painful when you can see. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You know, there were two preachers. They were standing on the side of this mountain road, and they're each holding a sign. The one preacher has got a sign that says, "The end is near." The other guy's got a sign that said, "Turn yourself around now before it's too late." There's a car approaching pretty fast, and it's not slowing down. And as the car passes them, the driver leans out the window and yells, "Leave us alone, you religious nuts." seconds later, the sound of screeching tires and then a huge crash. One preacher turns around to the other guy and goes, "You think maybe we should just have a sign that says bridge out instead?" The end is near. Turn yourself around before it's too late. Life is a lot less painful when you can see good. When we treasure God and His kingdom, we see everything clearly the way it should be. We see things based on their true value, their true worth. But when we treasure things that are on this earth only, when our hearts are pointed in the wrong direction, towards the wrong people, towards the wrong situations, everything becomes distorted, and we're in the dark. And how many of you guys know what the definition is of when you're in the dark? You're lost. That's the definition of being in the dark, not being able to see. You're lost. And when you're lost, things that become unimportant end up becoming super important. We flip things. The extreme example of this flipping of things, making something that should be unimportant or even not something that you should even focus on and making it the most important thing. The extreme example of that is addiction. Essentially, that's what addiction is. People are always baffled by the extreme things people do to satisfy an addiction. But it actually makes perfect sense in the sense of your heart is focused on the wrong thing. And that thing becomes all important because your treasure focuses your heart. There was a time in my life when I was in my early 20s when I would go anywhere, I would pretty much do anything and be with just about anyone to satisfy my drug addiction. I would put myself in incredible danger. I would go places that there's no way I should have been. I was hanging out with people I should have never hung out with, all to satisfy my addiction. All of my life became connected to my addiction. All my relationships, my friendships, everything from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to sleep, everything was focused on this one thing because that was my heart was moving in that direction. Our treasures focus our hearts. Life is a lot less painful when you can see good. I want to close with this. This is the third thing I want you guys to consider, and that is, I am not the exception. In other words, you are not the exception. Our treasures focus our hearts, and so there's no way to avoid this. We're going to serve our treasures. But I know the deal. And I know that some of you guys are already thinking, I know there's a way around this. I'm sure I can manage to do both. In fact, I may be doing both right now. I can do this. But Jesus is clear in verse 24 of Matthew 6. He says, no one, let me hear you say no one. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, I will admit, there have been times in my life when I've tried to find a way around this. And maybe some of you can relate to that. You know, it's kind of, you know, I can do this thing. And still, you know, I love the Lord. I go to church. But I still, I can still do this thing and do the God thing. You know, I can kind of work both angles, thinking that I would be the exception. You know, I see in red, Jesus says, no one, you cannot, Well, but what about me? I'm different. And the reality is, you can do this for a while. You can do both for a while. But eventually, situations come up when you are forced to choose one or the other. It's going to happen. And you're going to have to make a choice. The quest for financial security, the need to impress others, or managing our dreams and desires, all that stuff can get tricky when you're trying to do both. Serving the things of the world and trying to serve God. Because the reality is, you can't build your life around two conflicting things. And they conflict. And so as we close today, I really want you to think. The question I really want you guys to think about is, what is my heart pointed towards? Who am I pointed towards? Is it some particular person? Is it some particular thing? What are you trying to protect? What is so valuable to you? Because Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We are supposed to treasure God above literally everything. When you understand that, then some of the things that Jesus said that seem so crazy make perfect sense. Because he's talking about treasures. He's talking about your heart, the direction that your heart is pointed towards. The first commandment is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, not to put anything else above God. Your heart should be pointed towards God. And as you do that, and I want to recommend that you guys read the rest of chapter 6 of Matthew, where he talks about worry and anxiety. And it's all connected to what we're talking about today. If your heart is pointed towards God, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to be afraid of anything because your life is moving in the right direction. Would you guys bow your heads right now? We've seen that Jesus is simply just talking about the fact that treasuring things on this earth is just not smart. He's not telling you not to treasure things or people. But if that's all your life is focused on, it's not smart. It's not wise. What is your heart focused on? What is your life moving towards? Lord God, I just pray that you will seal your word in our hearts now, and that you will direct and guide this time. Help us, Lord, to be able to be honest. Honest with ourselves, honest with you. So we give you this time in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, I just want to ask if you're here and if you know that your heart really hasn't been pointed towards God, towards Jesus. If he isn't first, if he isn't above all, if you haven't trusted him with your life, if you haven't thought of him as being smart enough or caring enough to lead your life, but you're willing to make that decision today to trust him, either for the first time or if it's a time of maybe today was a time of really realizing your need to trust Jesus. If that's you, would you just raise your hand right now? If this is your first time or rededicating, amen, amen, amen. Those of you that have raised your hands, I just want to lead you in a simple prayer. Church, if you pray with me out loud, say, Dear God, I come to you today with a desire in my heart to trust you in every way. I believe, Jesus, that you have the answers, that you know the way for me to become the person that I dream of being. And so I surrender my life. I surrender my hope to you. Be my Lord, my true Savior, my leader, and my friend. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, you've had time to think about the overarching question that I gave earlier, and that is, who or what is your heart truly focused on? What is the primary thing, the primary direction that your life is moving towards at this moment? And is it God? And if it's not God, and you believe that you need to reorient yourself, and you're willing to do that, and if that's you, would you just lift your hand as well this morning? Anyone here that's wanting to reorient, redirect? Amen, 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 amen. Those of you that have raised your hands, I just want to give you a moment just between you and God, just to realign your heart. Realign your heart towards the Lord. God, we just want to thank you again. We thank you, God, that you always help us get our lives back on track. Even if we've gotten off track even a little bit, Lord, I pray your grace, your blessing upon your people. Help us, Lord, to focus our hearts completely towards you. We know that's where we're safe. We praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? All right. Hey, it's time to take our offering. We're going to close with a song, and then, of course, right after church, we'll do our newcomers reception that you guys are all invited to if you'd like. And so let's pray, and we'll take our offering. Father God, we praise you. Thank you, God, for blessing us with this series. It's been really fun. It's really been really, really insightful. And God, I just pray that you will direct our time now as we give to you And Lord, I pray your blessing upon this offering now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.